Brother Carl.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome
good morning.
To Oak and Door Christian Ministries.
Yep.
Is there any first timers here? First time here at Open Door Christian Ministries?
Oh, second time.
Raise your hand. Hello. We just want to say hello to you and welcome to our home. But before I start, I just want to open up with a word of prayer. So if you can all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you today. Thank you so much for you have given us so much, Father. We just pray that today, Father, that you will have your way in this place, Father. And that, Father God, that you will keep on pressing on us, Father. And if there is any gaps, Father, that you will fill them with your love and with your grace and your mercy. We thank you so much, Father, for your grace, because your grace is so deep, Father. We thank you for your love, because it's never-ending, Father. We pray, Father, for Pastor Ben and his family while he's away, as well as Pastor Walton, Lord. I just pray that you bless the time that they have together, Father, and just nourish their bond as their family that they have, Father. And I pray the same for here today, Lord, as your church, as we all come together, Father, to worship you and praise you and honor you, Father. We thank you for this family that you have set before us, Father. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you so much, Father, for loving us in a way that you do, Father. In all these things, we leave in your care with your blessings. In your Son's precious name we pray. And all the church says, Amen. Amen. All right. Awesome. Well, I'm so happy to see you all and that the storms hasn't affected you. I can see that you all walk by faith, and that's good. That's a good sign. But today we're gonna have another test. It's called the prospering test. You know, last week we covered the pit test, and you know, the pit test had some key points, and you know, the first one was the position of the pit, and that's basically how we got there, and how did we got there, and you know, what was some of the things that got us into that pit. And then the second was the perspective of the pit. And when we're in that pit, or when we're in that troubles of life, in those storms, you know, we need to get a good perspective of why we're there. We need to get God's perspective. And then we covered the purpose of the pit. And the purpose was to cry out to God, to be delivered by Him. Because they also gave a shadow of the brothers when Reuben, being the firstborn, pulled Joseph out of the pit and saying that I will deliver him and bring him back to the Father. And we could see that that was also a shadow of Jesus, what he has done for us as him being our deliverer and him bringing us back to the Father. So there was a lot of good things in the pit test, and you know, a lot of it covered like the gifts too that God gives us. You know, Jacob gave Joseph gifts. One was a physical gift, his coat. And, you know, and then he had a spiritual gift that God gave him, a dream and a destiny. And, you know, we covered that God gives us gifts too. He's our Father. He gives you also, you know, gifts. And we talked about, you know, our gifts and how to use them, and that our gifts that God gives us are always for others, you know. It's a blessing for us. It's not so much ourselves, but that's part of our destiny. Yeah? And you know, I know it's a little getting ahead of some other stories, but we can see that, you know, the gift that was given to Joseph, it was also used against him, because a lot of times, you know, God will never take away our gift, but we can lose it. And we lose it based upon ourselves, and we can see that his brothers used the two gifts against him. And that'll be in a story later on, but basically what it is, he brought, one was a coat. They brought the coat covered with blood, and we've seen in the study too, in the pit, that it was fabricated evidence. So the brothers used that as a lie. And then the dream, the brothers was always, what's the word I want to use? Well, when the brothers seen him coming, they said, oh, here comes the dreamer. when they threw him in the pit, they said, let's see what will become of his dreams and all. So the gift that God uses, sometimes we can get, you know, we can not use them in the right way. And I feel for my, when I think about it, you know, I think it was a prideful thing that Joseph was using the gifts. So we don't want to use those things. But we don't want to do it in that way. But today we're going to talk about the prospering test. And we're going to continue with the study of our dream to our destiny. We will study in the Genesis 39, the story of Joseph. So, first of all, every person in the world, and it doesn't matter who you are, you have a dream from God, a dream that God has for your life. And every person also has a destiny from God. It's a destiny that God wants you to fulfill. But many people will not walk, well, many people will not fulfill their destiny in their lives because of just one word. And I try to cover that every time we talk about a test, and it's the one word is character. See, a lot of times why we won't fulfill the destiny is because our character will not support the destiny that's in our lives. So what happens is God takes us through some character building tests and here on earth. And we're studying the life of Joseph, and we're seeing the 10 character tests that he went through, that he could fulfill the destiny that God had in his life. So we're studying the prospering test. So we had the pride test, we had the pit test, and today is the prospering test. And we also have the prison test we're going to have. We're going to have the purity test. And yes, I know they all start with P, and that's because I'm gifted. But anyway, yeah, so they all start with P, so you know, this is good. But let's read in your notes Genesis 39, 1 through 6. And it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, by the way, they both, as you can see, they both begin with P. Maybe that's why, I'm not sure. But the captain of guard brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Now watch verse 2 carefully. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. So I hope you can see the connection between the two right there, the two phrases. The Lord was with him, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, remember now, his master was an unbeliever, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put in charge of his household, put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was a well-built man and handsome. In that last verse, you know, I like him myself so much to Joseph. I really have a lot in common. but it's so funny that, you know, in that verse, it ends there, because what it does is it carries into another test, and that's a purity test. So it's so amazing what we read here, because when we ended the pit test, we could see that Joseph might, I really think Joseph changed his perspective in a bit about all what was happening and why he was in there. And we can see from the time his brother pulled him out in chapter 37 that he was pulled out. And it said that, you know, what probably happened in that pit is that he cried out to God, you know, and God delivered him from what was about, what the brothers were about to do. And then in chapter 38, it talks about Judah and Tamar, and then we go right to 39, back to Joseph. And here he is, where he says that, you know, in verse 2, it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. So he went from one extreme to a whole different, and I really believe that something happened there. And I just want to share that I think sometimes, you know, when we cry out to God, and when we're in that storm of life, that God will bring us out and things will start changing. Yeah? And I think that really meant a lot. But, you know, like I was saying, it's such an amazing statement here that he's in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar makes him second in command. And he gives him everything. He gives him the whole run of his whole household. But, you know, the thing is that he also winds up in prison. And the prison guard keeper does the same exact thing. He puts him in charge of everything. And then he finally winds up in Pharaoh's house. And guess what? He winds up doing the same thing. In fact, this time he's in second in command of all of Egypt. And, you know, we can see that prospering that he did. So, but let's read in your notes in Genesis 39:23, and it says, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper." So I have a very simple question for you today. Would it be okay with all of you that whatever you did, the Lord made it prosper? Would that be all okay with you? Is it good? Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, today, you know, God has helped us with four simple keys to being successful and prosperous in everything we do, either our job, our health, our family, our finances, our marriage, our ministries. To be successful in whatever God calls us to do, whatever He puts our hand to. So here's the number one, and it's in your notes. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. Notice how many times it says the Lord was with him, so he prospered. So the first thing we need to talk about here is the word prosper. And I want you to know the word prosper it isn't a bad word. You know, I know there's a hyper-teaching prosperity out there as well as grace. You know, but, you know, and I don't subscribe to it, because the problem is that we have pulled back from the biblical teaching of prosperity. And that's what I want to share with you today with all these key points. You see, God wants us to prosper, and to prosper us in everything that we touch. He wants you to prosper so that you can prosper others. He wants you to bless you so you can bless others. And prosperity is not a bad word. You see, it's all through the scripture. As a matter of fact, the word prosperity in the Hebrew means to push forward. You know, a lot of people think it's about having net worth or whatever your worth here, you know, monetary wise or whatever. But actually what it means is to push forward. It literally means that, you know, and I ask you, would it be okay if God pushed you forward in your job? Would it be okay if he pushed you forward in your business, in your school, or in your family? You know, I can just see God, you know, you're out there and, you know, you're walking and God's just pushing you. Lord, you know, and he's just pushing you. And because he's trying to prosper you. He's trying to get you, pushing you forward into things, guiding you there. Well, the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you why. Because God never fails. God has never failed in anything he has done or he's about to do. So if we walk in the presence of the Lord, we walk with God, we will prosper, because God will prosper. Just find out what God is doing and get in on it. You know, you just go with him. But here's the problem. Whenever people go out from the presence of the Lord, it removes us from God. But we walk away. We walk away from him. That Bible says that Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. You see, God came to Cain and gave him a chance to repent. But Cain didn't repent, so Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. God was basically walking one way, and Cain decided, or he chose, to walk another way. So when you walk with God, you're successful. When you don't walk with God, you're not. So let me show you some scriptures here. Let's read Genesis 26, 12 and 13. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him." Now let's see if God shies away from the word prosperity. Let's read 13. "The man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous." So we can see that it's in the Bible, and God won't shy away from that word. Let's also read in 2 Kings 18 and 7. And it says, "And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered." That was King Hezekiah. "And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him." And I got two more verses here, but they're not in your notes, but I'll read them for you. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 9, it says, "Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." And in 3 John 1, 2, it reads, "Beloved, I pray that all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So once again, I would like to know that God would like, I would like you to know that God would like to push you forward in your life and everything that you do. To push you forward in all that you put your hands to. You see, even an unbeliever like Potiphar recognized that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar's home was best because Joseph was with him. And, you know, here's another good question. Does your employer, whether he's a believer or not, does he know that he's being blessed because you work there? Does he know that?
Sure.
You see, that's what happened to Joseph. So the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. So now you might say, "Oh, what's the key to the presence of the Lord?" You know, if that's what it is, you know, I want it. I want that. So what's the key? Well, I'm ahead of you on this one. So number two, the key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. So let me read you some scriptures. This one is in your notes. It's in 2 Chronicles 17:3. "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because," and here's why he was with him, "he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the bells." So in other words, he obeyed. He walked in obedience. Let's also read 1 Samuel 18:14. "And David obeyed himself wisely in all ways, and the Lord was with him." So, you know, we know that King David didn't do everything right, yeah? Because the Bible tells us, his story is in there. But when he did mess up, he repented. He came back to the Lord. He humbled himself. And when the prophet showed up, came to him, he humbled himself. And I also have another scripture here. It's not in your notes, but I'll read it. In 1 Samuel 18:12, it says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." So here's a couple of very, very simple questions I have. Why was the Lord with David? Because he obeyed, right? And why had the Lord depart from Saul? Because he disobeyed. See, it was pretty simple. So I'll read you another one. A scripture, it's not in the notes, it's in Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 28, and it says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse." So basically, this is God saying, I'm going to let you choose here. What do you want to do? You want a blessing or a curse? See, the blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and a curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So listen, I know it sounds like works here, and in some parts of the Old Testament, it is works. But we are saved by grace. We go to heaven because of grace. But if you want to succeed on the earth today, if you want to succeed here, we're going to have to obey. Obedience honors our Father in heaven. And some may say, because of grace, you know, I have a free license to sin. That's that hyper-grace teaching that's out there. And that I will automatically be forgiven. It's almost like they're trying to make it convenient. Once you say the sinner's prayer, it's all good. But, you know, we know that that's not it. We need to repent and also turn from our sin, yeah. But grace is a gift, and grace gives us all the ability to be like David, to behave wisely, to choose a blessing or a curse. That's what grace does for us. But if you obey and walk with God, you will walk in success. But it doesn't mean that everything will go your way. It doesn't mean that you'll never go through the pits. You know, what it means is, if you cry out to God, He will take you through those storms successfully. Let me read you another scripture, and this one isn't in your notes, but it's in Job 36:11-12, and it says, "If they obey and serve Him, God, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword." And what it means that a sword is like a form of judgment. "And they shall die without knowledge." And that basically means without knowing God. And in Proverbs 28:13, that's not in your notes, it says, "He who covers his sins," basically walks in disobedience, will not prosper. "But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." You know, I just want to let you all know, I believe in grace. And if it was based upon our works, all of us, we have already lost it. We're already in trouble. So let me assure you that grace is a gift. It's a gift that can't be earned. And I believe in grace. But I also believe in obedience. Because I have seen that when we walk with God in obedience, I am blessed. And you are also blessed. I've seen it in so many of you. Everything I put my hands to is blessed. When I walk away from God, there is a curse. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's God cursing us. You see, well, it is. We live in a cursed world. Yeah? And what happened is, it's like there's this storm right now. And, you know, there's softball-sized hail falling and from the sky and, you know, falling all around us. But God, He has this steel umbrella, and He's under it. And those who walk with Him are also under that umbrella. And, you know, God protects us there. He blesses us there. And, you see, when we choose to walk out from that presence, when we choose to walk away from God, see, God never walked in. He's still there. It's us choosing to walk away. You see, and what happens is, when we walk away from that umbrella, when we walk out from the presence of God, you know, we hope that we can dodge these things, the hailstorm out there. And you know what? But sooner or later, you're going to get hit. So, you know, I had told this story yesterday at the park. And, you know, I remember the example that I had is, when we were little, we were playing. They started to build, but they had this real big pit, and they had threw over a couple planks of wood. And what we were doing, we were playing war. So we had run down into the pit, and we could hear them. They were like throwing rocks, and they were hitting the top of the 2x4, and we were all laughing because, you know, it was so funny. But all of a sudden, everything stopped. And so we were in there, and we were like, oh, you know, and sure enough, it was me who went out first. As soon as I stuck my head out, sure enough, here it came, a rock right in my head. And you know, it was like bleeding all blood, and we all ran to my friend's house, and And, you know, they put the water hose because they wanted to see, and they were like, whoa! and I was afraid. I didn't want to tell my mom, so I didn't tell her anything about it. But, you know, the next day, have you ever tried to comb your hair with clumps of blood? Because I was trying to hide it. I didn't want her to, but it was so funny. But when I hear that story about, you know, being covered, that's basically what happens, you know. When we move out of that presence, you know, we may think it's going to be okay and nothing's going to happen. Guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to get a crack. You're going to get cracks out there. So my we need to stay in His presence so that those things won't happen. So the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. So now I know you're thinking, well, you know what? I just don't obey. I would like to obey, but I just don't. So I will need the key, Elder Carl, the key to obedience. And we got that here in another key. And key number three is, the key to obedience is faith. The key to obedience is faith. So, do you know why a farmer plants? Basically, he plants because he believes that he will receive a reward when you look at it. Listen, many of us have faith. We have more faith in the hot water heater at our home. You see? And what I'm saying by this is, what happens is, you know, we go home, we turn the hot water on, and you know what? We just sit there and we just wait. Right? We just wait. Because why? Because we know that it's a hot water, and that it's gonna come on. It's hot water. It may seem cold while we're standing there, but sooner or later it's gonna get hot. Man, I remember it was one home we lived in. You would wait about 3 minutes. I'm like, I was determined to go find if somebody was getting my hot water. It was that bad. But, you know, the thing is, you know, when we turn that hot water faucet on, and, you know, it's cold, but it's going to get hot sooner or later. But listen, when you turn the faucet on of obedience, it may feel cold in the beginning, but sooner or later, it's going to get hot. You got to believe that. And here's the problem why we don't believe that there are rewards if we obey and consequences if we disobey. But many of times we feel that we can disobey and that we can get away with it. The reason a child obeys is because they believe they will be rewarded. And if they obey, and they also believe if they disobey, they will suffer consequences if they don't. So let's read Ephesians 6:1-3 in your notes, and it says, children, where's our children? Okay, you guys listen up to this one. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise or with a reward, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. You see, I ask people to read this verse before, and somehow they forget part of it. You see, I ask them, what's the promise? And they'll say, well, if you obey your mother and father, you'll live a long life. But that's only part of it. See, the promise is that things may go well with you. You know, if things go well with you, there's a reward for children believe that. If they believe that they're true obedience, that there will be a reward, that they will be rewarded if they obey. And if they disobey, there are consequences. And in the book of Proverbs, that comes in the form of spankings, yeah? So, you know, children will know that, because I remember when we used to take Jordan shopping when I was young, you know, I used to tell him before we go, Jordan, if you behave yourself and if you obey and you stop throwing stuff in the cart that I don't need, I'll give you something. I'll let you choose something, okay? We got that understanding? And he's like, yeah. So he believed if he obeyed and if he behaved himself, there was a reward. And he knew that would come. So that would make him obey. That would make him, because there was a reward there. But he also knew is, you know what? If I go to that counter and my bill is not where I want it to be, you're in big trouble, dude. And he knew that, you know? So, but anyway, let's read another scripture. But this one isn't in your notes too. But it's in Colossians 3, 22 to 24. And it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. You know, all of us want to obey. We all want to do the right thing. And I think it's so important, because if you have faith, you will obey. And when I saw this one verse in Hebrews 3, 18 to 19, I said, you know, it's there right there. I can see what this is. So let's read it. So in Hebrews 3, 18 and 19, it says, and to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would enter his rest? So basically, this is the reward of the promised land. Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? Now watch verse 19 carefully. It says, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter the rest. So where did that word come from? He was talking about obeying, right? You think he would say those who did not obey could not receive the reward. But they did not receive because they did not believe. Because of their unbelief. Listen, faith produces obedience. You see, if they had believed that God would reward them, then they would have obeyed. You see, a lot of times too, you see in the things that Jesus did, that, you know, whether it was the one soldier that came to him, you know, he asked Jesus to heal his servant, but he said, you know what, I can't have you to come to my house, you know, because I'm a man under authority as well as you. But just say the word. Just say the word, you know. And this soldier wasn't a believer. But you know what? He believed. He didn't have belief. He believed that Jesus would heal him. You see, and when we believe, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing. You know, and just like when Jesus was healing the young girl and the people all laughed, oh, she's dead already. You know, he came too late. You know, because their unbelief. What did Jesus do? He told them, you know what? Tell them to leave. You know, Peter, James, John, come. Come with the parents. Come in here. Because, you know, because of unbelief, you know, you won't be able to obey. So it's very important that we learn that because of unbelief, that there won't be obedience in our life. So the key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. And the key to obedience is faith. So it brings you once again to ask the question, and this is the most practical one of all, and it's simple. All of you can do it if you want to prosper. It won't be me. It won't be anybody else. It won't be your boss. And you have no excuses for not prospering. You choose whether you want to prosper or not, whether you want to walk in the presence of God, whether you're going to obey, whether you're going to have faith. This right here is something you all can do. And I promise you, everyone can do this. So key number four is, the key to faith is hearing the word. The key to faith is hearing the word. Yeah. Now you might think I would say doing the word. I believe in obedience. I already talked about that. But that's not what produces faith according to the Bible. So as we read in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Listen, you want to have faith, listen to the word. Listen to as many sermons as you can. Sermons that preach the word and teach the word. Not just 5 points about better health or any of that stuff. But the ones that preach and teach the word. Get into the word. Read the word yourself. You know, put it on cards so that you can memorize verses. You know, meditate on it. Study it. Get the word in you. Here's why the Bible says that hearing the word builds faith in you. Because the word has the power to change your life. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his name is the word of God. The word of God is not of a corruptible seed which lives and abides forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word never will. His word will never return void, but accomplish what God has sent it to do. You know, learn the word of God. You know, I don't know how much more to impress on you to spend some time with the word. Get to know the word. Now, I want you to think about the last 3 points here that we talked about. I talked about prospering in the presence of the Lord, obeying, having faith or believing, and hearing the word. You see, what I'm telling you is very simple. You can prosper. You can prosper because you're walking with God. You're going to walk with God because you obey. You obey because you believe. You believe and have faith because you hear the word of God. You know, I know a lot of times we think prosperity is different. But, you know, our God is a God of order. And when you put these things inside, you look at what God has done and you put and see God how he is and the way he does, how he puts things into order. And you look at a lot of miracles and when you read stories of Jesus and what he's done, and you see a lot of these things and why Jesus was able to do so many things. It's because he followed these simple keys. And to me, it's amazing. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to always to hear God's word. Either it's here at church, reading your Bible, or just listening to sermons on TV or whatever it may be, or books, you know, supplementary books. Because God's word develops faith, and that faith helps us to walk in obedience, and that obedience brings the presence of God in our lives. Yeah, and just like Joseph was successful because of God's presence in our life, I want you to be successful as well. I want you to step into the destiny that God has for your life. You see, I'm so encouraged because all of you come to church. And that you're hungry for God's word. And that is so good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, for this message. I know, Father, that, Father God, we want to prosper in this life that you have given us, Father. But not so much for ourselves, Father. That we can help others prosper. That we can be a blessing to other people, Father. It's not so much that it's about ourselves, Father, but your destiny that you have for us, as well as prospering, is always for others, Father. Your Son has showed us a great example of showing that his life was here for others, Father. And we pray and ask you, Father God, to help us to always to seek your presence, Father. To obey you, Father. to believe in you, Father, to always be hungry, and to have your word burn in our hearts, Father God. I thank you so much, Father, for all that you have done. But I know sometimes, Father, that in our life, Father, we go through things, Father, and it's no mistake, Father, that we need you. We long for you. And these keys, Father, that we have spoken today, we pray and ask that you would help us, Father. That you would guide us in these things, Father, that we can just draw close to you, Father God, and always be in your presence. And if there's anyone today feeling like, you know, I'm just not obeying. I want to be in his presence, but I have a lack here. I have a lack of believing. I feel in my heart that if I obey, there's not a reward for me. But you have promised all of us, Father, so much. And you love us so much, Father, that you want to help us succeed in this life, Father. You want us to prosper in our souls. And if you're feeling this right now, I just pray and ask that you will raise your hands right now and let God know. And let God help you. Heavenly Father, we just pray and ask, Father, that as we seek you, Father, and that we come to you, Father, and get to know you more, that your word will build faith in our lives, that you will be with us, Father, and that you will show us such awesome things, Father, that you will build our character, Father, that you will not let things just be example, that you will put us through the test, Father. And we know, Father, with you we will never fail. We might have to retake them. But you know what? That's okay, Father, because we know that we have you on our side. We know that you have sent a helper, a tutor for these tests to help us, Father. Thank you so much, Father. We leave all these things in your care and with your blessings. And if you're ready today to give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And you know that today the Holy Spirit may be tugging at your heart right now.